You know, it's, I guess sometimes it's a good thing that certain events happen that make other folks step up to do things for the Lord, you know. And, of course, Mahari, he's been ministering for quite some time now, but I'm always saddened when I can't be here with you for service, but with Dad's passing, just about the time I was leaving the house to come to church last Sunday morning, I was looking so forward to hearing Jeremy because I've watched God use him and watched God grow him. And I too want to echo Chris's sentiments that I heard so many wonderful things about the service last Sunday. And I know for me and Pastor Chris, that means so much to us because we love you all. And we do what we do because we want to see you blessed and uplifted in Jesus Christ. And to know that we don't have to bear all that weight, it's a blessing, isn't it, Chris? And so y'all get ready. You'll probably hear from Jeremy more often when Chris maybe needs just a break from the grind of ministry and work, doing both, as we both do. And I'm glad Jeremy, I believe God's going to grow Jeremy a lot in that realm. And I heard so many wonderful things about the service last Sunday, and I praise God for that. And again, thank you for all your prayers, your condolences, your cards, everything you've done this past week for my family and I. And I wanted to share with you, and Connie, I hope, is Connie in here? There she is, back there, hiding behind Dennis. Is it your brother-in-law, or was it your uncle? What family member was it? I think I'm getting it wrong. Your sister-in-law's dad. Okay, I'm sorry. I knew there was an in-law I thought involved there somewhere. It was a couple of weeks ago, you may recall, Connie requested prayer for her sister-in-law's dad, who was very sick and near death and did not know the Lord. And Connie had really no one she knew that could go and minister to him, and we prayed about that and asked the Lord to send someone, because God's got his people everywhere, amen? We asked God to send someone by to him that would open up his heart for the gospel. And Connie shared with us just before service this morning that one of his nurses was a born-again believer and led him to the Lord Jesus Christ before he went on. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I shared with the praise and worship team this morning. I want to share with you today. I believe we're getting ready to see a wave of salvations in this body. I believe the Holy Spirit is reaching out to people in this last day that are hungry for truth, that are tired of living sinful lives, and they're tired of religion. They want to find the reality of Jesus Christ that's revealed in this word. And I believe we're going to see that happen very frequently in the coming days and months. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 3? And I want to begin reading at verse 1. Acts chapter 3 verse 1. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word. This passage of scripture we're about to read is very important to me, very, very special to me, I should say, because on January 1st, early in the morning of 1983, when I gave my heart to the Lord, and I couldn't explain what had happened to me then, I knew something had, but he came in and he transformed my heart and just literally saved me while I was in a drunken stupor. And I felt so overwhelmed with joy that it filled my heart, that does when you're born again, to know your sins are washed away. I didn't know where that feeling was coming from at that time. I didn't understand it. Now I do. The Holy Spirit had come into my heart and life. Jesus Christ had washed my sins away and restored me to a right relationship with God when I put my faith and trust in him and what he did for me at the cross. And I remember I didn't even know where to start reading, even though I'd grown up in the church. I knew a little bit about the Bible. But I opened the Word. And this was the first passage of Scripture, what I'm going to read to you this morning, that I ever read as a born-again believer. And I remember I just sat there and wept after I read about God's grace and mercy in healing this lame man that was laid at the gate called Beautiful. Let's begin reading now. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. I want you to take a look at verse 5. He expected to receive something of them. Oh, Lord, grant, I believe that expectancy is already in the sanctuary this morning. Expect to receive something from God today. Many of you already have. But it's that expectancy that, and God's always going to do more than what you expect him to do, always, without fail. Hallelujah. He always does more than what you're expecting. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of the first miracle. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the rich movement of your Holy Spirit today. Lord, we give you praise for miracles that I believe have already happened around this altar. But Lord, we give you praise for miracles that are coming. Hallelujah. Things you're going to do that are going to be far above that which we could ask or think. Because you're that kind of God. You're a gracious, loving, giving God. And Lord, let the expectancy to receive something from you permeate every heart today. And Lord, if our hearts expect to receive something from you, you're always going to do far above than what we thought you were going to do. Because you're that kind of God. Hallelujah. Lord, have your way today throughout this service. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Praise God. And Lord, as always, help me to preach your word today. You can be seated. I got to pray on. I forgot to mention that. I'm nothing without him. Lord Jesus, please anoint me today and give me the mind to preach your word, to glorify you, and to bring honor to your name. Amen and amen. Just before the 1900s, at the turn of the century, there was a young man by the name of Googly. His name was Guglielmo. They called him Googly for short. Sounds like a poor Jennifer Lopez movie, don't it? I didn't see that one called Jiggly or whatever. They say it's the worst movie ever made, but it was. You saw, Monique saw it. Anyway, Googly had some strange ideas about things. He believed that, and did some studies to find that there were invisible waves in the air. And that possibly these invisible waves could be channeled and used in some form. He began to share all of his ideas and his experiments with his friend, which at this time were totally unheard of. They thought he'd lost his mind. He spent 2 years in an insane asylum for what he believed. When finally, after 2 years, they come to see that there really was nothing wrong with him. He wasn't insane. That maybe he just had some crazy ideas. His full name is Guglielmo Marconi. He invented the radio. He invented wireless transmission. The cell phones that many of us have in this sanctuary this morning. And the technology behind them were formulated by this man who initially they thought to be insane. He won a Nobel Peace Prize for his work in 1909. Think of that. Someone having such a brilliant idea that was so far ahead of its time, and they thought it was crazy. Isn't that mankind? And you draw a parallel to that in most religious circles today. And I say religious circles. Because religion always goes after that which is man-made. Religion always goes after that which has its origin in the mind of a man. And much of the church is in religion today. And they think the idea of this man named Jesus giving his life on a cross, and by placing faith in his work on that cross, will change a human heart and life and liberate that human heart and life from the bondage of sin. They think that's absurd. They think it's crazy. And they think that people who believe such are idiots. But I've got news for them. The proof is in the pudding. A 12-step program's never changed a life, nor will it ever. A psychologist's couch or a pill has never changed a human heart or life, nor will it ever. I was talking with someone this week that I've been praying for a long, long time. Asking God, and man, this individual's a hard study. He's a lot like I was before I knew the Lord. You see, I know what it's like to lay in a drug or drunken stupor and have your full mind deep in your soul and spirit, wanting to quit, wanting to stop having improper relationship after relationship after relationship, with everything in me wanting to quit and not being able to do it. That's the bondage of sin. That's how sin holds all, not just some, all humanity in bondage. And this person was a hard study. I've been praying for him for a long time. And finally, I'm telling you, don't give up on your loved ones that you've been praying for. You never know when the Holy Ghost is going to open that door and fling it open wide for you to give them the gospel. And this person began to tell me how sick they were of religion. They'd grown up in church, so to speak. And he said, all I've ever seen is hypocritical religion. And I knew he was right. And he said, I know I'm not a Christian right now. And he said, but I've seen so much junk in the church. And he said, I don't want that. I do not want that. And he said, but furthermore, and I want you to listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. Because this is the state of most people that are bound by sin. This is what Satan tells them. He said, I know it says somewhere in the Bible that you can be given over to a reprobate mind or have your conscience seared. And he said, through a cracking voice, he said, I believe that's what's happened to me. He said, I really believe there's no hope for me. He said, I believe I've messed up one too many times with God, and I've turned my back on him, and I've mocked him one too many times. He said, I don't believe he could ever forgive me. I believe I have a seared conscience. And man, what an opening for the Holy Ghost. Oh, immediately my mind flashed. And I said, my dear brother, and this is one of the most intelligent people I've ever met in my life. I said, my dear brother, let me tell you something. I said, I'm going to prove to you, you don't have a reprobate mind and your conscience is not seared. And he said, how are you going to do that? I said, I've got one question for you. I said, are you concerned about where you stand with God right now? And he said, yes, I am. I said, that's proof positive the Holy Ghost is after you. Hallelujah. Because if you had a seared conscience, you wouldn't even care what God thought about you. My Lord, they fell silent on the other end of the phone as the Holy Ghost began to move. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I said, it's all about Christ and Him crucified. It's not about your performance. It's not about you doing religious works. It's about Christ and what He did for you at the cross. And if you'll put your faith in Him, you'll find the help you need. I told him a 12-step program can't help you. It has its origin in man. But Jesus Christ has all power and paid the price on the cross to set you free from the sin that has you in bondage. Oh, I went on. I started preaching. Hallelujah. I said, let me tell you something. I said, God's not a man. God is not a man. So many sinners, Satan tells them God's give up on you. And God's given you over. Your conscience is seared. Oh, God is not a man. They keep telling them, Satan keeps telling the sinner, God's not going to forgive you anymore. I told this person I was talking with on the phone last night, I said, let me tell you this. Let me take you to a passage of scripture where this apostle Peter, the same one we read about this morning in the book of Acts, before Jesus died on the cross, the disciples were all gathered and talking one day. And this Peter came to Jesus. And Peter, if you study him in the Bible, I like him. He's one of my favorite characters. Because he's so much like most humans. You see humanity in Peter like I believe no other disciple that's there. I'm talking about the sin nature. Peter talking to Jesus. And he thought he was real holy. He said, Master, if my brother sins against me 7 times a day, and I forgive him 7 times a day, and I'm paraphrasing this somewhat, isn't that good enough? Now think of that. 7 times, that's man, isn't it? Don't you see the human nature in that man wanting to project his attributes onto God? 7 times and that's it. You're done after that. Oh, glory to God that God's not a man. Hallelujah. I can't get off of that thought this morning. The God we serve, hallelujah, he's not a man. Jesus turned to him and he said, no, Peter. 7 times 70, you have to forgive your brother if he sins against you that many times in a day. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, okay, do the math. 7 times 70, that's 490. Well, that's a whole lot. No, no, no. You don't understand the context, if you're thinking that way, of what Jesus was saying. He was in essence saying, Peter, forgiveness, my forgiveness, is infinite. The count never goes past 1 when I forgive. Whoa, glory to God. It all gets wiped clean every time. The count always goes back to 0 with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah to God. His forgiveness is not man's forgiveness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I know this. God got a hold of this person I was talking with. They're coming to the Lord. I look for them here in church before long. I sensed with all of my heart the Holy Ghost of heaven, the high sheriff of heaven, served papers on him, hallelujah, and said, it's your time, I'm coming after you. And when the Holy Ghost comes after a person, he's going to get his man or woman, hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, that's the miracle that all mankind needs, is to be transformed from a sinner to being right with God. I don't care what position man holds in life, how much of this world he gains, what position he gains, what popularity he gains, how much power he gains. Spiritually, they're still crippled by sin. And as we pick up this story this morning in the text, it's some 90 days approximately after Jesus Christ has ascended back into heaven. And here the two great disciples, Peter and John, are going to the temple to pray at the 9th hour, which incidentally is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the same time that Jesus Christ bowed his head on Calvary's cross and the Holy Spirit told him, it's time now, give up your life. No man could have took Jesus' life. Even the Holy Spirit, as he hung on the cross, told him exactly when to go. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you see, let me tell you something about that cross. The one on that cross was all man and all God at the same time. He could have hung on that cross for a whole year had God chosen for him to do so. You say, well, that's impossible for a human to do, but he was God. It wasn't even ultimately the nails that killed him. Even though his body was drained of most of its blood, even that couldn't have killed him had he not wanted to go then. But at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he bowed his head and said, "It's finished." Glory to God. I believe those are the greatest words ever spoken. It's finished. It's finished. What was finished? It literally meant in the Greek text, it's accomplished. What is that it? What does that pronoun mean? It is accomplished. God's plan of salvation to redeem mankind is what Jesus was referring to. He was in effect saying, "I have done the work. To all who will believe and trust in me, I will send my Holy Spirit into their life and I will change them." And he's the only one who can change mankind. Mankind is doomed to stay on the treadmill in the slavery of sin because there's no other power that can break that hold of sin. Nothing can do it. And here come Peter and John at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to the temple to pray. The day of Pentecost has already come and has now passed, where the Holy Spirit entered the world without measure and the church of Jesus Christ was birthed. And outside of the miraculous speaking in tongues that we read about in Acts 2, where all from all over the world heard these unlearned fishermen speaking fluently and brilliant oratorically, praising God in unknown tongues that they could not have known. They're going to the temple to pray. As under the Jewish system of worship, which there was still a little bit of law there, even in Peter and John after the death of Jesus, they would pray at 9, noon, and 3. And they're going to the temple. And somewhere in Jerusalem, some probably 25 to 30 years before this day, there was this man born, and he's crippled from his mother's womb. He's never walked. All of his life, he has known nothing but dependence upon maybe the few kindnesses of strangers at times who would give him a little bit of money. His family or friends, every day of his life, the routine was the same. He would awaken, and they would carry him and lay him at this gate at the temple. And he would hope and pray somebody would walk by to give him something. Some money, some type of food or something that would help him. And that was his life. That was his life. Never changing. Seemingly hopeless. It's a perfect picture of what sin does to humans. There's no more graphic picture of what the sin nature does to a human being. Because every man, woman, and boy coming into this world has this thing called a sin nature. We're born bad. All of us. We're born bad. We're the fallen sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And this sin nature, and Satan working through that sin nature, holds and keeps men in the bondage of that sin. That's why I know, I remember too well, and I pray God never lets me forget, the horror of laying there drunk or high out of my mind on some type of drug or alcohol. And physically a mess, but deep in my spirit crying out, "Oh, I wish I didn't have to live like this. Oh, I wish things could change." And growing up in the church, I wasn't taught to properly believe God. And that was this man's life. It's the life of every sinner. Every heart who does not have Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of it. This is what life is like for them. They lay there daily, just hoping and praying, "Somebody give me something that'll change things." And the church, what's supposed to be the church, offers them a psychologist's couch, a pill, or a 12-step program, or some get-rich-quick scheme. You see, what mankind thinks he needs and what mankind really needs are two different things. As this man, for some 25, 30 years now, has laid in his state, just... that's the sinner. I know, I've been there. It's horrible. And you go back and you keep doing the same things over and over and over again. And you know they're killing you. and you can't stop. It's because that's how sin binds mankind and holds him in bondage, literal bondage. No person can change their own life. I don't care how badly you want to. And you say, oh, but Pastor, we hear stories of these people being poor and becoming CEOs of corporation. When they lay their head on their pillow at night, if they're without Christ, they're still bound by sin in some capacity, and they're miserable. Don't let it fool you. But finally, after so long of being laid at this gate, the Holy Ghost had an appointment with this gentleman. And here come Peter and John. Looks like it's going to be just a normal afternoon of prayer. And he's laying here one more time, the Bible tells us, and he's crying out for alms. You see, he thought he needed a little bit of help from man. That's what he was looking for. Man can help me. Man's my only hope. But this day the Holy Ghost had it appointed that two powerful servants of God were going to be coming through that gate. And I can see it in my mind's eyes, Peter and John approach him. And no doubt they had passed him many times before. No doubt he had laid there. And John and Peter many days before had possibly even given him an alms, thrown him some money. I'm sure he was known, this gentleman was, throughout all of Jerusalem as he was laid daily at this gate called Beautiful going into the temple. But this day, two Holy Ghost-filled believers are going to be acting on behalf of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the works that I do, ye shall do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. Now, Jesus didn't mean the greater works than he did in quality. He was meaning the ability was going to be given to do these works in greater quantity than he had ever been given, because he was limited as a man to only be in a certain geographical area. Now the Holy Ghost had been poured out. Believers being filled with the Holy Ghost and can act for Christ all over the world. Hallelujah. But this would be the first time it would happen. And though they'd walked by many times before, today the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter and John. And he says, give me an alms. And Peter stopped. The great reformer, Martin Luther, who was excommunicated from the Catholic Church, much like Marconi was for discovering radio waves, Martin Luther was kicked out of the Catholic Church for holding to what they said was the heretical doctrine that man was justified by faith alone in God. And one day, Martin Luther was talking to one of the Catholic priests. And they were looking at the ornate and opulent cathedral that the Catholic Church had built in this particular city. And the priest, Catholic priest, braggadociously said, the church can no longer say, silver and gold have we none. But Martin Luther turned to him and he said, neither can we say to the lame man, rise and walk. But this day, Peter stops when he hears that cry and the Holy Ghost arrests Peter. And I know in Peter and John's minds, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will bring all things to our remembrance that Jesus said. They're reminded. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Greater works than you've seen me do, you're going to do. And this day they stop. And they're reminded by the Holy Ghost. We are emissaries of Jesus Christ, and we have authority to act and speak just like he acted and spoke. And here's this man crying out, alms, alms. You see, he thought he needed something from man. Maybe you think you need a promotion. Maybe you think you need a better job. It could be a plethora of things you think you need. But if mankind is without Christ, you need Jesus. That's what you need. You need the transforming, life-giving power of Jesus Christ, because if you're without him, you're sitting there crippled, you're sitting there bound, and you've got no real hope. Hallelujah. I may not be Peter or John, but this is for some today. The Holy Ghost has sent me by here to tell you the same Jesus that gave power to raise this man's lame legs is the same Jesus who will give power into your life to transform your life and break the power of sin in your life. And you'll be delivered and liberated. You see, he thought he needed something from man. And the Bible says this: God is so gracious. Listen to what I'm about to bring out here. God is so gracious. The Bible says he expected to receive something from them. That's all God wants. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can speak to mountains. He was referring to a mountain of sin, but he was speaking allegorically, but he said, it don't take much if you just believe me a little bit. Hallelujah. And Peter then told him those great words. Silver and gold. I ain't got any of that today to help you. But you don't need silver and gold. He said, but I do have something. Glory to God. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I do have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand and walk, glory to God. And Peter reached down for him, and 30 years of laying there lame and hopeless was immediately wiped away by the power of Jesus Christ. It is as ugly as sin is, the picture of sin in this man's life. How great the salvation of God. If you'll come to Jesus Christ, he will instantly break the bondage of sin, give you a new life, and send the Holy Ghost into your heart and life, and the Holy Ghost will transform you. Hallelujah. See, there's no other way for a man to change. I know it's like Marconi, huh? You telling me it's that easy? Just put my faith in this guy called Jesus and what he did on this cross and God will set me free. That is exactly what I'm telling you. It's not a way to be free. It's the only way to be free. Only Jesus can change your heart and life. Only Jesus can break the power of the sin nature. I don't care what you achieve in life, how far you go. In some form or fashion, until somebody tells you about Jesus and you accept what Jesus has done, there'll be no change. Listen to what I'm telling you. I don't care how hard you work at it, how many self-improvement classes you go to, how many whatever you go to. It's putting a Band-Aid on a cancer. And only Jesus, the master surgeon, can go in and excise the cancer of sin on the human soul and liberate that individual. You see, the greatest miracle of all is the salvation of a soul. This is a marvelous, dramatic story of God's healing physical power. But you know what? Look at this man's life. When Peter pulled him to his feet, the Bible says he went leaping and praising God. Oh, I know how he feels. I know the day Jesus set me free. I may not have run through the streets, but in my heart and spirit, I sat there and wept, and my soul leapt within me because I knew something had changed. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't articulate it. But praise God. God don't require us to know everything. He says, if you'll just believe on me, that's it. That's all man can do to get his life changed is believe on Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. You see, that's what made the cross necessary. There was no other way for mankind ever to be set free from sin. Man could never extricate himself from sin's bondage. And until man comes to Christ, he's doomed to live life like this lame man did before God came into his life. Spiritually speaking, this was the very first miracle that would ever be worked in the church. Think of that. Now, I'm talking about in a physical sense. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ. To me, that's a greater miracle than this one. The transforming of a human heart and soul from a sinner into a saint. There is no greater miracle, but that's what this miracle portrays in typology. The transformation, the dramatic, life-changing transformation of a sinner into somebody who's right with God and has their life full of God. I'm closing now, but can't you just imagine when this guy came home that evening with his little bed rolled up underneath his arm? He thought he needed silver and gold. God gave him something so much greater. That's God. That's God's nature. Whenever you come to him, he's always going to give you so much more than what you thought you were going to get. If you just believe him a little bit, he'll give you so much more than what you thought you could ever have had. I look back on my life before I knew him, and my worst of days with him have been far, far better than my best of days without him. Because no matter what happens, and believers are going to face tough, heartbreaking situations too, but he's there with you, and he lets you know it. Hallelujah. What a Savior. The first miracle, the first physical miracle of healing performed by the disciples, or anybody for that matter, in the name of Jesus, which right here in Acts 3. And as we close this morning, I want to ask you, are you right with God this morning? Are you right with God? Let me tell you, he stands ready to forgive, to heal, and to deliver. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that you've gone too far, that you've gone too deep in sin for God to forgive you. I revert back to the story about the gentleman I told you about, I talked with on the phone. Let me ask you one question again. Do you care about where you stand with God? And if you do, your conscience has not been seared. Because you care. If your conscience had been seared, it would not matter to you where you stood with God. But the very fact that you care proves the Holy Ghost is calling out to you and that God's telling you, I love you and I'll change you and I can do it, but I'm the only one who can. I'm the only one who can get you out of the morass of sin that has you bound. And he longs to do it. He paid the high price to do it because he loves humanity. God's not against humanity, and God's not out to rob anybody of fun or anything good. But sinful acts, although they may feel good for a time, are going to just keep taking mankind deeper and deeper and deeper into bondage. And the grip of sin becomes tighter and tighter and tighter, squeezing the life right out of that sin-filled person. And I don't talk down to no one. Please don't take it that way. I told this gentleman I spoke with on the phone last night, all I am is one starving man telling other starving people where there's a guy giving out free sandwiches. That's Jesus. That's his grace. And he'll forgive. You haven't gone too far. But I feel the Holy Spirit pressing me to end on this. He's the only one who can help you. If you're looking to man, if you're looking to a person, if you're looking to a promotion, if you're looking to this world, like this gentleman was, the Lord has sent somebody by to tell you today, Jesus is your answer. And more specifically, Jesus and what he did on the cross is the only power that can liberate mankind from sin and transform. Transform. You don't have to do nothing but believe. That's all he asks of you. He'll do the rest. Praise God. And he'll keep on doing the rest as long as you keep on believing him. We're still going to be a mess in this fleshly body. But you know what? As the days pass and you walk with Jesus, excuse my poetry here, you just become less of a mess. The more you walk with Jesus, the less of a mess we become. Praise God. I'm still a mess in this fleshly tabernacle, but oh, I'm so much less of a mess than what I was years ago. And he's still working. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is telling some of you, I believe, this is your hour for a miracle. The greatest miracle. The transformation of your soul from a sinner into a saint of Almighty God. Having the bondage of sin broken over your life and liberating you to live a life free from the domination and bondage of sin. And I close on this. Only Jesus Christ can do it. Only Jesus Christ can do it. Would you give him a hand of praise this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand? As you bow your heads, don't nobody get nervous. I hope if you're not right with God, you're convicted. But don't be nervous. I ain't calling you down front. I ain't going to ask you to come down front. Lord's been showing me that even in my own life has been way too much religion. You know, Jesus can change and transform the human heart right where you are when you call on him. We don't need people to, if you want to come running to this altar screaming and crying, you come. We'll pray with you and praise God for it. But I'm going to tell you, far too often we have emotional displays without people being born again. It's the most important decision you'll ever make to serve Jesus Christ. It should not be entered into lightly or unadvisedly. It's the right thing to do, of course. But Jesus wants all of you. He wants you to give your life to him. And in exchange for that, he'll break sin's bondage in your life if you trust him exclusively. He will cleanse you and make you right with the holy God. And he will send his blessed Holy Spirit to fill your heart and life. And that Holy Spirit working on the inside of you will begin to make changes in you and give you brand new desires as you keep your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross. That's the only hope humanity has. Oh, I so feel the Holy Spirit pressing me. Drive that home. It is the only hope humanity has. Without that, humanity is doomed to live a life of sin and dependence on other men. And man can't ultimately help you. All men could do for this poor beggar was carry him to the gate every day. That was kind of them, to be sure. But they did not change his life one iota. It took the power of Jesus Christ to do that. It still takes the power of Jesus Christ to change your heart and life. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Some of you this morning, and I don't say this to talk down to you. All humanity without Christ needs this. Some of you need to call on him today. You know you do. I don't have to play no game with you. He loves you, though. He loves you. And he sent this message today just like he sent Peter and John by to this lame man. He sent me to tell you he loves you and he's your only hope. Whatever you've been looking to help you out is not going to help you out. Only Jesus can do what any man or woman needs done. And I'm leaving it. The Holy Spirit is telling me to do this altar call this way. It's between you and him. It's between you and him. If you'll call on him and just say, Jesus, I need you. Will you forgive my sin? Will you come into my life and make the changes I can't make? You're going to find he'll answer that prayer. He will answer that prayer. And your life will change as you keep on trusting in him. But that's the only hope there is for humanity. And now with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to pray. And if you need to call on him, you do it right where you are. He's the one who's going to save you. He's the one who's going to come in. And if you really invite him into your heart and life and you're really born again, for years we've heard it said in the church, oh, you've got to confess him before men. If he changes your heart and life, if you're born again, you'll confess him. Won't need nobody to have to drag you down to an altar and say, Jesus saved me. No, you'll do it. It's that powerful. Hallelujah. It's that powerful. And he'll do it if you'll call on him. He'll do it if you'll call on him right now. I don't back down from that challenge. I know what he'll do. I know what he'll do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for those of us that know you in this sanctuary today, we thank you and praise you. That's why we shout. That's why we lift our hands, because you liberated us from sin and sin's power. You cleansed us from sin. And Lord, even when we fail now, you don't quit on us. You keep working with us and you keep bringing us along. You keep on forgiving. You keep on washing us clean, even when we fail. Hallelujah. What a Savior. That's why we praise you. But Lord, if there be those that need their life transformed by you today, that need their sin forgiven, just let them simply call on you right now, Lord. For the word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Call on him now if you need to. Ask for his help. He won't turn you down, and you haven't gone too far. Quit listening to that lie of the devil that says he won't forgive you. You've done too much. Quit listening to that lie of the devil that says your mind and your conscience has been seared. No, you care about where you stand with God. And that proves that he's calling out to you and loves you. Call on him now and ask him. You don't need silver and gold. You need Jesus. And if you call on him and invite him and ask him to forgive you, he'll come in and he'll make changes we would never be able to make on our own. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing now. For I believe in this sanctuary today, lives are being transformed and souls are being born again by the power of God. And we'll see the evidence of it very, very shortly. Lord, now in the name of Jesus, I'm turning this rest of the service toward the saint. And really, we've already done this. But some of you came down and you prayed today for a miracle. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. The same Jesus whose name Peter and John invoked. God is no respecter of persons. The disciples were wonderful, great men of God, but they were men just like you and I. It's when you called on him in the name of Jesus this morning that his miracle-working power was dispensed into your situation. It was. Maybe you didn't instantly feel a change, but I know in my heart and spirit when we called on him this morning, he worked some miracles and is in the process of completing those miracles right now, maybe unbeknownst to you. But I sense faith in this building today. And as we close, I just want us to lift our hands and praise him for his miracle working power. Lord Jesus, thank you for the miracle of salvation. Thank you for miracles of healing. Thank you for miracles of working out problems, Lord. And moving things that we could never, ever do. You're such a gracious, loving Savior. And we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your grace and mercy and miraculous working power every day in our lives. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Just worship him, saints of God. He's so worthy. He's so worthy this morning. We sang it, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Hallelujah. Holy, holy is he. Glory to God. Don't you feel his presence in the service today? I have since the start of the service. And every time he works a miracle, just like he did here in Acts chapter 3, it is affirming the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you feel his love and grace and mercy flowing mightily through this sanctuary and through your soul today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And if you prayed and called on him, don't you dare let the devil tell you he didn't hear you Oh, by the mere fact, Satan's taking the time to tell you. He didn't hear you. All he can do is lie. He's the father of all lies. If he's taking the time to tell you God didn't hear you, you need to throw up your hands and rejoice, because it's a lie. God did hear you. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand of praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Thank you so much for being in God's house today. I know God's touched us all. You couldn't have sat under a mighty movement of the Holy Spirit like this, sinner or saint, and not be touched by it. He's too powerful. He's too loving and too irresistible. Praise God. It's been a delight to be with you this morning. Maybe I know a few of you know. Perhaps all of you don't. I've got to catch a plane here at this afternoon. I'm going to Baltimore, Maryland. I'll be gone for 2 weeks. I'm going to a school that the government is sending me to. And just pray for me while I'm away. But while I am away, Brother Mahari is going to be having the services. He and Brother Mike and two great men of God. Mike's a great teacher. Mike, what is it? Do you know what you're going to be teaching on the two Wednesdays, next two Wednesdays? Why don't you come tell the people a little bit about it? And after that, yeah, go ahead. Thank God for Mike, yeah.